The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
Hi, this is John Giss, the frontman for the band Electric City, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
We're back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, helping youth workers to keep going.
This is episode 33. Hey, everybody, this is Steve.
And this is Matthew. Yeah, glad you're with us on this fine morning. I guess for us, it's the morning, Monday morning.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was actually not bad. A lot of swim meets. I was two different states, two different swim meets on Saturday. So basically, I was in a bleacher from about 6:45 a.m. until 4:30 in the afternoon.
Do you have like a super cushy seat you take with you or something?
I really should, but I
don't. Seriously? After all these years, you don't have a special?
No, I don't.
You must have
a hardcore
backside.
I'm more hardcore. I stood for a bunch of it. I just couldn't do it anymore.
Because those are all day affairs, right?
Yeah, University of Maryland for the morning, and then quick hour and a half drive to Gettysburg College for 3.5 hours in the afternoon. So,
okay.
Yeah, beautiful. Living the dream, Steve. Living the dream.
We had Walt Mueller here this weekend.
Oh, that's right.
At our church.
How'd
that go? Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, I got a few Snapchats from a couple of my parents. They were showing me pictures of the Sherpa stickers you gave out.
Oh, yeah.
Shameless promotion. I love it.
Of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he was great. He was here on Saturday morning presenting Digital Frontier, how to help kids navigate through the digital age. And I thought it was great. Great stuff. Looking forward to interviewing him. We didn't get a chance to record it while he was here, but I've got his word.
He's on the books.
He's on the books for the future episode. It's going to be great.
Yeah, he's a great interview. He's a great presenter.
Yeah.
Is he at the Youth Workers Convention this weekend?
He is going to be at the Youth Workers Convention.
Awesome,
he's doing
right.
A deep dive on Wednesday and a couple seminars. And so he'll be there.
So if you're out there and you're heading to National Youth Workers this weekend, I would highly consider getting out there into one of Walt's seminars. You'll be glad you went.
Yeah, you'll also be glad if you stop by our booth.
Booth 523, the Youth Ministry Sherpas booth. Yeah, we're getting excited, man. A couple days.
We are.
Descending upon St. Louis with more llama stuff than anybody should have, honestly.
Yeah, really. You should probably bring a giant backpack or something to put all your stuff in.
I do have a lot of llama
stuff. It's not that much stuff. It's small.
It's small stuff. We do have a 5-foot cardboard cutout llama. Very excited to display that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. We've got some giant dice. We're going to have contests going on. We're even going to be recording opportunities for you to be on the podcast.
Yeah, we'd
you
like
could
to
be a special guest.
Special on the guest interview.
Yes, you'll be like a celebrity.
So come by the booth so we can meet you and we can record you. You could be a special guest on the episode. We'd love that.
We're going to have so much fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. Yeah. We got some cool t-shirts to give away if you roll the right numbers on that dice contest.
That's right.
And yeah. It's going to be great.
And we're staying in a house again.
Oh, that's right.
It's not beachfront this time.
No, well, is there a beachfront in St. Louis?
There should be.
There'd be riverfront. You could stay on the old Mississippi, I guess.
It's true. No, but it's a full house, and it's going to be cool.
It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Party house again.
Absolutely. Party llama.
That's right.
All right. So, Monday morning.
How'd your team do yesterday?
My team didn't play yesterday. My team played on Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
And
the Thursday night game.
The Steelers smacked down the Panthers.
Oh, they did. They did. And the Panthers are pretty good, too, man.
Ben Roethlisberger had more touchdown passes than incompletions.
Oh, that's a good day.
That's a good day.
That's a good
day. One of the best days he's ever had.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. I'm excited, man. The Steelers are sitting in a pretty good spot right now. They look great. We've got Super Bowl aspirations.
You
it's
always
early.
Have Super
it's
Bowl
early,
aspirations.
It's early, but we're hoping things come through. Yeah.
Yeah. They're looking pretty good. Packers not as much. We won yesterday, which was nice. We lost two straight, two tough ones against on the road the Patriots and Rams.
Those right.
Tough games,
oh, yeah, those are tough games.
Both games were winnable, and we just couldn't close it out. So it was nice to get a win and, you know, have a more positive press conference. Love those post-game press conferences. Right?
Yeah, they're
those,
great.
The coaches, they have all these – these like mantras that they basically say every week, you know, because it's part of who they are or it's part of the culture they're trying to build.
Yeah, and some of them are great at it.
Tomlin for the Steelers, I think it's I'm not a Steelers fan, but I'm a fan of listening to Tomlin because he's hilarious, man.
He's good. Yeah, he's got some good stuff. One of my favorites is excuses are tools of the incompetent.
Oh, that is so good. I want to make T-shirts that say that and give it to people that I know that make excuses all the time.
Yeah, and the great thing about it is, you know, Tomlin's been the coach for so long. He's got longevity. And so those kinds of things end up weaving their way into the team culture over time. And they become who the team is. You know, Belichick's got the same thing in New England.
Yeah.
And it just makes such a big difference when you're able to continually speak the same thing into the culture.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, Mike for the Packers is a bit of a wet blanket. Yeah, we'll have to take a look at that and correct anything that we see that was wrong. And I'm thinking, what does that even mean? Of course you're going to do that. Like, but anyway.
What? They have film?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, but guys have no personality.
No personality. Mike does, and I love that he builds a culture by kind of speaking the same thing over and over and over again. What was the other quote you read me offline? Like, I will tolerate you until I can replace you.
Right.
I mean, that's just gold right there. That's just so good.
I'm going to use that with all my volunteers.
Wow.
I will tolerate you until I can replace you.
That escalated quickly.
I don't think I'd have very many volunteers after that. So it segues into what we want to chat about today.
Yes, this idea of mantras, things that you... that are important to you, that you speak into your ministry, whether it be with your volunteers or students or both, that then create sort of the environment that you want to.
They're like second or third level theological truths.
True.
Right? We all have basic theological beliefs.
Jesus is Jesus, and that's how you get saved.
Jesus is the Son of God. We're an evangelical podcast. We're talking about Jesus all the time. So we're assuming, you know, those basic theological truths. But there are other things that are more personal to us, that affect the way we speak into our youth ministry and ultimately affect the culture that we've created.
Absolutely. And I know I have some that are true of me, and I'm confident you have some that are true of you.
Yeah, so we're going to share some of those today. And as we share these are just ours, and I'm sure you have yours wherever you are in the culture that you're building. And it's just something to think about, the things that you are able to say repeatedly are going to affect the kind of ministry that you create.
Right. And so if you're young in student ministry, it'd be good to get some thought. Give some thought. Yeah. What are those things that are important to me? What am I trying to build here? And what do I need to speak into my students and leaders so that I can build it?
Yes.
And if you've been in it a while, maybe to take some time to reflect, what are those things so that I can continue to reinforce them or decide, are those the things that I want to be important?
Right.
Because sometimes I think we fall into things
we do.
That we say all the time that we think, why do I even say that? So it's just a good time to think about it. It was good for me to think through kind of what would my students say I say all the time?
Exactly.
You know, and it was a great reflection for me. So
yeah.
I'm excited to talk about it.
All right, let's get started. So what's your first one? What's something that you say all the time, Matthew?
Probably something that I say all the time that probably annoys the snot out of my students. I am often heard saying, I'm not a cruise director, I'm a pastor. And you know,
you're not managing the love boat?
I'm not managing the love. I'm not an activities director.
That's a good line to drop whenever you see students dating.
Oh, absolutely. This isn't the love boat.
Hey, this is the love boat.
This is not the love boat. Of course, do they even know what that even means?
They probably don't.
Probably don't.
We have love sacks in our youth room, though.
Oh, see...
Am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Why would they name that? Maybe they could be a sponsor.
Yeah, they should.
We should reach out to them.
I wonder if they're going to be at the conference.
I don't know. We should talk to them.
Love sacks, it's furniture. Okay, people, it's furniture.
Yeah, but no, I mean, the theological thing there for me is that I was not only hired, but I was called as a pastor, as a leader, to lead this group of people, in my context, these students, deeper into the kingdom of God. That's what I was called to do.
Right.
And that is going to often involve an event, an activity. I mean, there's just no getting around it.
Yes.
That's part of the deal.
The many hats of youth ministry.
But for me, it was always, I was always like, look, we need to be doing something with purpose. Like, like that, whatever we're doing needs to feed into something that's important to us.
Okay.
So if we're going to do an event, what is the purpose of the event, what is the point of the event, and we have to put everything into accomplishing it, because I don't have time, and I don't think our students have time for things that just don't matter. And let's be honest. They're just at sometimes they're just going to want to hang out for the sake of hanging out. And there's a place for that.
And you could make that happen.
Absolutely.
You could be the grease in that.
You could totally just be an activities director. Yes. And you could build a pretty great thing. But at the end of the day, where are we going?
Right.
You know, and we've talked about it before on this. This kind of goes back to if we planned an event where it was just a fun event. And there's no growth aspect to it, no discipleship back to it. It was just, we're just doing something for funsies. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the reason we're doing it is because it would be a great chance to bring a friend from school who mm-hmm. doesn't know, meet the youth group, meet kids in the youth group, hopefully eventually meet Jesus.
Right.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Well, we're doing that event, and you're not bringing your friends. Guess what's going to happen?
Right.
We ain't doing that event anymore because I'm not a cruise director.
It's a programmatic pruning.
Exactly. I'm a pastor.
Yes.
And so, therefore, if what we're doing isn't advancing the kingdom in some way, I ain't got no time for that.
Especially the older we get.
Oh, no kidding.
less time for that.
Absolutely.
And energy for it.
So, yeah. So, that was okay. And that affected over time, saying mm-hmm. that constantly. Really shaped that culture, and I think helped a lot of students, at least the students who were engaged and paying attention. It helped shape them into, I hope, living more purposefully. Like,
okay.
Know what you're doing and why you're doing it. It doesn't mean you can't just do a fun event. Well, I do that all the time, and I love
right.
that. But it's got to have a purpose. It's got to serve a movement into the kingdom, or we got to go. So
okay.
that was one of the things that I think shaped my culture and me and our ministry.
Cool.
Okay. What about you, Steve?
My first one is every kid is made in the image of God. Now, this isn't unique to me. I've heard Orange say it. I've heard it in lots of places. And it's a biblical, theological truth.
It's a great truth.
But it needs to be said because we need to remember and be reminded of it. Because I don't know about you, but I've got kids that, honestly, I don't always like them.
What? You have students in your ministry that you don't like? Steve. Actually, it's true. I know. We all could name a few.
Everybody has students that just annoy you, and you just wonder, oh, how can I love this person? Because they're driving me crazy. And I can think back to, I actually have this secret list. I shouldn't share this, but I'm going to share it now because I said it. I have a secret list in my head of the top 5 most annoying students of all time.
These are the students that if we did youth group trading cards, you'd be dealing them to other youth ministries in exchange for like a 4th-round pick or something.
You know when you play hearts, you give away your worst cards at the beginning of the round? These would be passed to my right or to my left.
To your left.
And we all have those students. And they're different for everybody because we connect in
different ways.
Have patience
sure.
for different kinds of personalities. But when you consider the fact that every student is made in the image of God, it kind of helps you develop a level of patience and maybe long-term perspective about what a kid is like now that are driving you nuts. And you just are able to kind of step back and say, okay, I struggle with this kid, but this kid is made in the image of God, which means that there's unique beauty in this person, as there is in every human being, and we need to celebrate that.
Sure.
And identify that.
That truth changes the way that you interact with that
Absolutely
student.
Absolutely does.
Or that leader, or that person.
Because they become not an annoyance, but they become a precious child of God.
Right.
And it affects the way we think about them and talk about them and interact with them. Now, this isn't done perfectly.
No, of course not.
I'm sure that I could be accused of not actually living this out in some cases. So it's not easy.
But you gotta speak it. You gotta talk it so that A, you're convincing yourself to do it, right?
And convincing the volunteers
and the
as
volunteers
well, because
the lead,
they're not gonna like and enjoy working with every student. But if they can recognize that God is at work in this kid's life and he or she's made the image of God, and there's something about them that's beautiful in God's eye, then that's gold.
That's good. That's really
so
good.
we want to keep saying that, focusing on that, and making that a high value in our youth ministry.
Yeah. Similar, but slightly different. Probably one of our mantras, one of mine, and again, rooted right in Scripture, is this idea of pursuing the wandering sheep.
Okay.
You know, every youth ministry is going to be filled with a handful of students who are going to make regrettable decisions because Well, that's just the nature of the gig. I mean,
no, that only happens in your youth ministry.
Middle school and high school.
My kids are all following Jesus perfectly.
Wow.
And they're perfectly behaved.
It's amazing.
And yeah, they're like,
I'm going to visit one of these.
I have an entire youth ministry full of current and future missionaries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Steve, that's impressive.
Yeah.
You should be the only one that does that podcast, and I should probably step out because I'm holding you back, man. I'm holding you back. No, we're working with middle school and high school kids.
Right.
Underdeveloped, you know, minds that are not quite there. They're prone to really bad choices. And any parent will tell you that this is true. Any youth worker is going to tell you that this is true. But for us to really develop this culture of we're going to pursue those kids. We're not going to kick them to the curb. Mm. We're not going to shun them. We're not going to shut them out. And I know it sounds weird to say that out loud, but I know there are places that their culture is actually just that.
Mm.
And I know there's a balance between, you know, just being kind of whatever happens, happens. And
yeah.
I mean, I think we've developed a culture where we're strong, especially with leaders, where we're going to make sure we step in. Discipline is the wrong word, but just to work with, especially leaders.
Be intentional about bringing things to light.
Right, that make stupid choices. But
yeah. For
a student that makes a terrible choice or is wandering down a season of terrible choices, mm-hmm. to pursue that kid like Jesus would pursue the one sheep, to leave the 99 and go, and to realize that God pursued us. I mean, the scripture is so clear about while we were still sinners, he sent his son. I mean, it's right there. And for us, that was a culture. In fact, yesterday I went to a wedding of a former student, and I had this chat with him about what it's been like being part of his journey.
Because
it's been a journey.
It's been a wandering journey.
This I posted on our Instagram yesterday, the story of, you know, this kid was smoking out back at the fall retreat. I mean, stuff where you want to send the kid home and then you want to hope he just doesn't come back to youth group because he just was causing problems and not really the kind of culture we wanted. But yet we needed to love this kid and pursue this kid because that's what God was doing. I mean, God didn't give up on him. I mean, he spent his senior year in a rehab school.
Wow.
I mean, he had a rough journey. But now he's a full-time missionary in Barcelona, Spain.
Awesome.
And I went to his wedding yesterday and was able to chat with him. And I didn't think about this ahead of time as I was talking with him. And I said, man, what a journey that it's been, Huck. You and I through student ministry and beyond. And then just you and your life with God has been such a journey. And I just need you to know that every part of that journey was an honor.
Mm.
And then I kind of caught myself and I was like, was it really?
Yeah, it didn't seem like at the time, did it?
But the reality is it was.
Yeah.
It was because he gave me opportunities to form this theology. He verbalized it. He's like, yeah, like there are so many times that you all, and he's speaking me, the other leaders in the church, you could have just shunned me or kicked me away because I deserved it, and you didn't.
You took a long view of it all.
Yeah.
You knew that it was a work in process.
Absolutely.
And it was going to take time.
And so that's just become something that we talk about, and that when, you know, people come and say, hey, what are you going to do about the student that's doing this? What do you mean we're going to do about it?
Exactly.
We're going to do the same thing we're going to do. We're going to love that student.
It's such a good reminder, too, because we were all doing stupid things. You know, it's so easy to forget how dumb we were when we were in middle school and high school. If we could step back into our 14-year-old self.
Oh, my goodness.
And then drop that 14-year-old self in our current youth ministry, we'd be like, who is this?
I wouldn't let me come.
He would be the annoying kid that I'd be looking for the image of God in, right?
You'd be wanting to pass him to the left.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great perspective.
To remember that. And so we talk about that a lot in our student ministry about, you know, no, we're going to love these people because it's a journey, and God's got them on a journey. And the journey is towards him. So
love the kid who's
him.
Struggling just as much as you love the kid who's currently on fire for God.
Exactly.
Because they may flip roles tomorrow. I mean, that happens all the time, right?
It's a sharp curve in student ministry.
It absolutely is.
So, yeah.
That's a great reminder.
That's good.
Cool. All right. Well, another one of mine is, when you're not here, our body, the body of Christ here, is incomplete.
No.
Because we tend to talk to students who aren't around, and we're like, oh, you really need to come because you need to be here.
You missed something that we did.
You're missing what we're doing. And there's definitely truth to that,
something to that
perspective.
Sure.
And, you know, we kind of give that message a lot. You need to be here because this is a great place to be. You're going to grow. There's friends here. People love you here.
My amazing messages.
Yes, you don't want to miss my amazing messages. Exactly. But to flip that and say, no, you need to be here because when you're here, your unique self is brought to our family. The unique gifting, your quirkiness, your weirdness, your sense of humor, your ability to reach out to that one kind of kid, or your ability to draw or be artistic or musical or whatever, your wisdom. Well, maybe not wisdom.
Yeah, something along those lines.
You know, whatever it is that everyone has, the unique gift that they bring, when they're not here, we miss that.
Right. I think we're not as complete.
I think kids need to hear that.
It's a more compelling reason to come. Yes. Then you missed something that we did.
Yes.
That's great, Steve.
I share this with parents, too, because parents have excuses for their kids not coming. Especially church parents, you know, whose kids aren't involved. And they're like, well, he just doesn't feel like he has friends here.
Doesn't have any friends.
Doesn't connect. Like, okay.
Or if they were honest, I don't really want to drive back out of the house at 5:30 on Sunday night. It's been a long weekend. They're not going to say that, but
I've had these
that.
Conversations with parents over a number of years in some cases where I could not get these kids to come, and the parents, you know, were not doing everything possible to get them to come. And we missed out on what those kids could have brought to us. I've got one in my head right now. We have a student currently. She's awesome. She never comes. She could
sad.
Be a student leader. She's such a gift.
She has so much to bring to the table.
And she doesn't come because she never got plugged in, and they've kind of bounced churches a little bit. And I've pursued her. And I just, you know, if she was part of our ministry, we would be blessed.
But you'd be better.
She would be blessed.
Sure.
I hope she would be blessed by my amazing message last night.
I'm sure it was amazing.
Yeah, it was great. I actually talked about a drug cartel. It was great.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, I've been watching too much Breaking Bad lately. And
better call Saul.
no, but she would just bring so much to us. And I think every kid does. So we try to communicate that. When you're not here,
that's a great message.
We miss what you would bring to us.
Yeah.
And try to value that.
And I love, I'm actually challenged by that. It's such a great message to flip that instead of you missed what we did.
Yes.
And you missed out. No, we missed out because
right.
you weren't here because you just, yeah, that. Oh, I love that. I love
Thanks.
It. That's happening. That's going to happen south of here, Steve.
Okay.
I love it.
All right. You got another one?
I do have another one. This idea of, you know, one of my favorite verses has always been John 10:10. Mm-hmm. You know, I've come that you might have life and have it to the fullest.
Yeah, that's a great verse.
This idea that following Jesus is really the best life out there. Mm-hmm. And when I look back on my life, it's a testament to
I thought you were going to say it was a tattoo.
No, it's a testament. No, I mean, I just feel like
it should be a tattoo.
I think it should be. I think about sometimes.
Here, let me give you a tattoo right now.
No, let's not do that.
Okay.
I think about sometimes what my life would be like without following Jesus. Mm-hmm. And whenever I imagine it, it just seems really dull and boring and unfulfilling. And when I think about the life I've been able to lead following Jesus, it's rich and full and
what an adventure.
Amazing, an adventure. And so early on, I was like, I want to communicate consistently to my students and my leaders that this is true. This is a truth from the Word of God that this is best. And so starting with my leaders, I mean, whenever I did leader training, I always told my leaders, look, the world is going to try to convince our students and us constantly that following Jesus is not that there's all kinds of other things that are way fuller and way better and more fun and more whatever. And so it is our job to model for these kids that following Jesus is great. So we're going to build a culture of, I don't have any other word for it other than fun. We're going to build a culture of joy. And joy is a better word than fun.
The joy of the Lord is my strength.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so our ministry is going to be full of laughter. Mm-hmm. Our ministry is going to be full of fun. Our ministry is going to be full of life because we can't just let, like, if they come
and trudge.
Is
that better than rule following?
Yes. 100 million times, Steve. Just this. Yeah, I want to invite students into
behavior modification. Isn't your ministry all about behavior modification?
Lord, don't get me started. That's a whole episode right there, but we're not going to go there now because I'm in a good mood right now. No, get me in a bad mood. No, this idea of we want to invite our students into an adventure, into something exciting.
Yes.
And and where you just don't know what's next, and that's good and exciting. And so it starts with the leaders. And then again, to say that, I don't know how often in a message I've tried to get to somewhere in the message where I can read John 10:10 and say, guys, this is real. This is, so you're going to have to trust me, and you're going to have to trust God that this is real. Following him is better than all of this other stuff you're considering or maybe even doing right now that you think is great. And I'm not saying it's not great. It's, some of the stuff you're doing and living for are good, but this is best.
Right.
This is better than anything else, and you got to live into it. Boy, I beat that drum so hard.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it literally shaped our culture.
That's fantastic.
Who we are as a ministry and how we just exist and the words we use and the phrases we say.
Yeah, that's
life
so
to
good.
The fullest.
That's so good. I've actually taught recently, whenever I'm talking about the disciples, I usually end up on that point. Like, think about how their lives were changed by the decision they made to follow Jesus. You know, Peter went from being a fisherman, an average laboring, working man with a normal everyday life. And the next thing he knows, he's experiencing miracles. He's walking on water. He's seeing people raised from the dead.
What an incredible
adventure his life. And it wasn't easy, of course.
No.
You know, he ended up being martyred for his faith. But what an amazing adventure he got to experience because he followed Jesus. And really what you're saying is when you're sharing your personal story with your kids, they're seeing that same thing in your life.
Yes.
You're demonstrating that to them.
Absolutely trying
to. Think about your life, Think about your life, what you get to do every day.
Unbelievable.
The places you've gotten to go.
Unreal.
The miracles that you've seen happen.
Can't even begin to describe it.
You never would have imagined that when you were 20 years old.
Never.
It's awesome.
So cool. Life to the fullest.
You even have a nice wife.
I have a great wife.
She's awesome.
She's not just nice. She's amazing.
God was good to you.
Yeah.
You are definitely playing out of your league.
Oh, I'll kick my coverage big time. For sure. For sure.
Yes.
Life to the fullest.
Yes.
In fact, it feels like that might be my next tattoo. I think you've just convinced me right here and now.
Okay.
That might be my next tattoo. Some version of John 10:10.
Your next tattoo. Well, I still need my first tattoo.
Yes, you do. We need to get you.
I don't have a tattoo. But if I had a tattoo, it would be one of two things. Well, one of three things. It would either be the Steelers logo.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, no. It would be that Pittsburgh logo with the Penguins, Steelers, and Pirates all in one.
Yeah.
I would get that. Or I would get a llama. No, I wouldn't get a llama.
Oh, my gosh. That'd be so great. You'd be my new hero.
No, actually.
I'm Googling tattoo parlors in St. Louis right now, this weekend. It's going to happen.
That would be crazy.
What would your wife think if you went away for a youth workers' convention and came back with a tattoo?
Oh, my gosh. That is so out of character. It's so funny.
Oh, this is happening.
Oh, man. I don't think I'm going to go anymore.
Come visit our booth. help me get Steve to the tattoo parlor.
I'm just going to go home at night and go to sleep. I'm not going to go out with you afterwards because bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
No, this is what I would get tattooed if I could get anything tattooed on me. The greatest need of the human heart is to belong.
That's deep.
Thank you.
It's deep.
I wrote
it's
that.
It's good, too.
Yeah. Now, this is something that I say to people all the time. In fact, one of my greatest honors was one of my graduating seniors a few years ago gave the graduation speech at Walkersville High School, and she quoted me in her speech.
That is amazing.
Isn't that awesome?
That is so cool.
I was up there bawling my eyes out.
I don't think I've ever been quoted in a speech. That's amazing, Steve.
Yeah, and this is the quote she said, "The greatest need of the human heart is to belong." And that has shaped, I mean, I really believe it, but that has shaped our culture in every way possible because I really believe it's true that what students need is a place to belong. And sure, the first way that we belong is we belong to God as his adopted sons and daughters. But that plays out in everyday life.
Sure.
In the way that we treat kids and we want to welcome them in and help them to know that they belong with us. We are part of a family together.
Part of our family.
That is
right.
Powerful.
So thing. Powerful.
Everybody needs to belong.
Mm-hmm.
We need that.
I agree. We often say at our church, you know, even big church-wise, culture-wise, often belonging precedes believing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to.
Yes, I've heard that same language.
So that makes making somebody feel welcome paramount to their decision to follow Jesus.
Yes. Just last night, we had a new student show up, and she was brought by this other student who we just love. And she's brought other kids too, which is great. But afterwards, my college director was talking to her and just asked her, you know, what'd you think of tonight? She said, I loved it. I loved it.
Wow.
Because I felt so welcomed when I walked in here and everybody was so nice to me. And she said to him, I want to come back every single week.
That's so like, awesome.
What a great win for us, right?
The message was really good last night, Steve. Wait, did she not mention anything about the message?
I want to hear more Breaking Bad allusions in your message. No, it was all about being welcomed into that community. So then she came with a friend. She was part of the fun and games. She went to the family group. My wife was her leader. My wife's super welcoming and loving, and she wants to come back every week. Like, that's the culture that we want to have. Because I don't know if she's a Christian or not. We didn't get to that part of the conversation the first time. But if she's not, what's going to draw her in? It's going to be the love and the joy that you talked about that she experiences in our culture, right?
Yep.
It's not going to be the message.
It's probably not.
It's not going to be the message.
I don't know a 16-year-old that's coming back.
The message may land at the right time.
Sure. It's still important. We're not minimizing the message, but that's...
She's not coming back for the dapper youth pastor.
No.
You know, the handsome young Pied Piper up there on stage. Definitely not coming for that.
Well, you're not young.
Well,
handsome.
Not
it's up for debate.
Debatable. Our worship leader's young and handsome. But
there you go.
You know, those aren't the things that are going to draw her in. She's not going to keep coming back because we played Pictionary.
Right.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good game.
Good times.
The pizza was okay. It was from Costco. It really wasn't that good. She's going to come back for the community.
Right, because it's a place to belong.
And in the midst of the community, she's going to see the kingdom of God being worked out. She's going to see the love of Christ being displayed to her in leaders and students and staff. And that's what's going to draw her to Jesus.
That's amazing.
And that's the key.
I'm excited already.
That's the key.
I can't wait to hear this story play out.
I can't either. And there's, you know, that story has played out with other students. Mm. Some of our student leaders this year are students who just came a year or two ago and were drawn in by that.
By
so,
that.
And I'm almost.
Hey.
Knocked over the microphone there. Now, I'm not trying to boast about our youth ministry. I'm just saying that that piece of youth ministry culture is super important. And if we can develop that, we are winning the game. Yep.
Every, what's the
greatest need?
Greatest
you got to get this down, man.
I know. I want to quote you in a speech someday.
The greatest need of the human heart is to belong.
Yes. Amen. So, I'm down with that.
Yeah.
It's good.
Those are our mantras.
So what's important to you? What are the mantras that shape your culture in student ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Spend some time thinking about that and make sure that you're implementing that. We'd love to hear about it, man. Jump on Facebook or jump on Instagram. Tell us what are your mantras? What are your things that are important to you?
Identify them and purposefully speak them to your leadership, to your students. Make them a part of your culture. I would even recommend, I've thought about doing this. We haven't, but it's a good idea. Put them up on the wall.
Put them somewhere prominent.
Somewhere, put these up on the wall. And we have core values, and those are really important. These are almost an addition to that.
Sure.
They're like subtle theological truths, like we said, layers of what we really believe and how it plays out in our youth ministry culture.
Good.
Is this too deep, man?
No, I think it's great. It was good. It's good stuff, man. It's challenging. It's challenging. It's
yeah.
You know, even thinking it through it for myself, challenging to think, are these still the things that are really important to me? Am I missing anything? Is there something else I need to be, you know, actively putting into the culture? And so this is good. And so I hopefully it'll be challenging for those that listen.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope you're able to find those things that exactly who God uniquely called you to be, that you bring to your youth ministry culture to create something beautiful and amazing.
And I hope we're able to see you in a couple of days.
I hope so. Please
and
stop
St.
by
Louis,
our booth.
Come by. It'd be great. But in the meantime, we got to pack.
We do. We got
shirts,
a lot of stuff.
We got a cardboard llama. We got, you know, blow up. We have giant dice to pack. We got stuff to pack.
We do.
The airlines are going to be wondering who in the world we are.
I've got second suitcase for all my leaders to bring along with them.
Love it.
Helping me out.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
We're excited. We can't wait to meet you. Have a great time at the National Youth Workers Convention. If you don't listen to this till after it's over, well, we'll have met you by then.
That's right.
And
we'll be fast friends.
Hey, it was great to meet you at
great
the conference. Anyway, that's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas. We love you so much. We appreciate your support.
We'll be back next week with another episode. Until then,
Sherpas out.